Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we have Brad Young coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some politics and some things that we probably covered a little bit on the roundtable. Well, let me get into this story because Brad and I do not talk about this, and this is one of the more interesting stories of the day, and it's probably one of the more disturbing stories of the day that we covered a couple hours ago. Of course, you can always use the Odyssey app and the rewind function and go back to the roundtable. We had a good one today with John Lamping, Steve Butts, and Jane Duker. But Sue, as you know, we covered this story about the lawsuit that is related to the school shooting from 3 years ago. I mean, this is almost 3 years to the date at the Central Visual and Performing Arts High School. So there was a lawsuit that was filed. And this is, you know, we find these things out all the time in the aftermath of some of these terrible things. And I think this one, you know, you see lawsuits that are filed all the time, right? The lawyers love to file lawsuits. There's some that I would describe as frivolous. And then there are others where you will say that there's going to be a big, big check that is written. And I think this falls in the latter category when you hear all the details here. So this kid, Orlando Harris, who was the shooter, told at least three employees working for Barnes Jewish Hospital. This is being reported by the Post-Dispatch today and by KSDK and probably others as well. But he told at least three people at Barnes Jewish and Wash U Health of his intentions. And I mean, like, his specific intentions to open fire. So you had two people that were killed, which is a miracle. And you remember what happened? Wasn't there a funeral that day for a either a firefighter or a police officer? And they were closer to the school to respond, right?
Yes.
So Alexandria Bell and Jan Kuska, who is the woman who was killed, the teacher, they both filed the lawsuit. The suit was filed on the three-year anniversary of the shooting. They say nobody warned the school or law enforcement. And in the lawsuit, it says hospitals knew or should have known that Mr. Orlando Deshaun Harris presented a serious and imminent danger. They're looking for $100 million in damages. They highlight Harris's mental state in the weeks leading up to the shooting, including, and we've heard some of this before, how his mother tried to stop him. So here's what they say. On August 8th of 2022, the kid was involuntarily hospitalized at Barnes Jewish Hospital following a suicide attempt. So this was a very troubled young man.
Yes.
That was the third time that he had been involuntarily committed for psychiatric distress. The third time. The suit does not specify when he gets out of the hospital, but he's still going to his doctor's appointments. So that was August 8th, suicide attempt. On August 22nd, he told a doctor that he planned to shoot up his old high school, CVPA, which shares a campus with the Collegiate School of Medicine and Bioscience, which is at South Kings Highway and Arsenal Street. He later wrote in a notebook found outside of the school that he had told two other psychiatrists of his plans. And then, on October 15th, his own mother calls his doctors, and he tells them that she's worried. He had bought an AR-15, a tactical vest, 20 high-capacity magazines, hundreds of rounds of ammunition. But nobody, none of the doctors or providers, called the school or law enforcement, according to the lawsuit. On the very same day, Harris's mother told police at her home that she was concerned about him, but officers said that they could not take the weapon because he was legally allowed to own it. We talked about this during the roundtable. So he bought a storage unit. He took it there, according to reports, and then at some point he retrieves the weapon. Then, on October 24th, 3 years ago, he walks into the high school with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. He starts shooting it up. He shoots Alexandria in the back and the arm, Kuska in the stomach. And she's actually a hero in this because she is literally shielding her students so they could get out of a window. And then, thankfully, minutes later, police are arrived. They take him out. Seven people were injured, but two people dead. Again, this is miraculous, you know, revisiting this, kind of going back to that time 3 years ago, that more people weren't killed. It really is. But this is unbelievable that you had people. There's two aspects here. There's the gun aspect, and I know that, you know, State Rep Butts, and I'd like to even find a solution. It doesn't seem reasonable to me, even as a gun owner and certainly a fan of the Second Amendment, that police, given a threat situation, could not remove a weapon like
right.
that. Seems to be something maybe we can work on, right?
I agree with that.
But on the doctors, and, you know, and I don't know the ethical obligations.
That's what I was just going to ask.
I don't know, but you would think that there should be, and I think we discussed this, there would be an exception if someone comes to your office, and look, I've been seeing a lot of shrinks lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them that I'm going to shoot up, you know, my place of business or a school.
I'd
you would
like
think there'd be an obligation,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Right. That's where the line is crossed. If you get, and this wasn't, I'm thinking about doing a school shooting. This was specifically, I'm thinking about going to my former school and taking all this ammunition and shooting it up. Three people knew that. His mom was worried. She reports it to the doctors now, and to the police because she's concerned, and this still happens.
I'm not clear on what the requirement was. And, of course, it's a lawsuit. Therefore, we don't know, right? I mean, there may be a rebuttal that says, no, we did tell. And, you know, maybe he told three times and it was a while ago. I mean, we don't know the timeline for
yeah.
that. But I would think that you would be obligated to report it,
yeah.
if you heard that.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here, okay? Our hospitals that don't pay any taxes in the first place are going to write, and their insurance companies are going to write a huge check in this. They responded. Their statement was they will vigorously contest the allegations outlined in the petition. My prediction, they will vigorously try to settle this as soon as possible and write a check, because if it goes to a jury, you're going to be hammered on this. I mean, if now this has to be proven, but if this stuff is accurate and if this is true, they're toast.
Yeah,
I can't even understand how they can get out of this at all. So that's a terribly devastating story. And, you know, again, $100 million, I don't know what the number is going to be, but if you're behaving in this way, and I will check, you know, I'll tell you what, by Monday, let's check in with some doctors and see what the ethics of all this is. Sometimes we get hit on social media as well, because maybe there's a part of this that I'm, you know, missing a little bit, where someone would not be allowed to go to law enforcement. It
right.
seems
maybe
reasonable if
yes.
there's threats to someone's life that should happen, right?
Yes.
This is kind of interesting, and I don't know how much you believe. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
No.
Have you ever talked to anyone that has had a near-death experience?
I've listened to people
yeah.
talk about it, yes.
So there's a new investigation that has apparently taken us a step closer to understanding what may lie beyond the grave. So researchers interviewed 48 different people who had survived near-death experiences. These are called NDEs. And they asked them to describe, even sketch out, what they saw in their final moments. And the findings, which are now, you know, published and they're awaiting peer review, sometimes that goes awry, as you know.
Well, it does, review, but
they reveal a wide array of experiences ranging from divine encounters to surreal otherworldly journeys. And some of them describe heavenly beings or, you know, religious figures like Jesus and God. One recalled there were stone stairs on the left in front of me, Jesus was toward the top wearing a white robe. Another said, God appeared as a great light in the distance. And this is where there's commonality.
I was going to say, where are the commonalities?
The light stuff. So one person says that they saw a black hole. Another says a cosmic matrix made up of many grid points, all connecting multiple dimensions. So the commonality is sort of the lights
light.
That they say.
Yeah.
One person said that it was an angel with exquisite white wings and really detailed the feathers layered onto one another, face of like a Greek god. The lead author of the study, this is in Beijing actually, says that the cultural beliefs play a very important role.
I was going to say,
sense.
That's exactly it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, because some people said they heard reading the Torah. Others described Jesus or angelic beings. So there, you know, you have some commonality there with what you believe in.
Jeremy Renner, remember when he was hit by his own snowplow?
Oh, yeah.
Talked about that because he had a near-death experience. And part of what he said was there was an overwhelming feeling of peace.
Really?
Yeah. So there was light, but there was also just indescribable peace.
Man, his story is amazing.
I can't
remember if it was, it was one of the, it might have been 2020. But when I went up to, I think I might have been deer hunting with my daughter last year. Or it was something where I was up in Howard County where I hunt and with my friends Kevin and Sharon Yeager. And we watched the 2020 episode where he details everything that happened that day. And he talks about the near-death experience. And that was an incredible story. I mean, that what happened to him that day could be a movie in and of itself.
Oh, it could. And I wouldn't be surprised. Here's what AI says. It happened in January 2023 after a snowplow accident that crushed him, leading to a feeling of exhilarating peace and a sense of pure being, during which he reported really not wanting to come back to life.
Isn't that crazy?
But yeah.
So here's what they say in a little bit more detail about what people see. The bright lights, the staircases, loved ones, maybe cosmic or geometric patterns. This is some commonality. A-shapes, that involved a narrow tunnel-like vision possibly linked to reduced blood flow to the brain. All right, so there's some science to it, too. B and C shapes occurred in an elliptical or arch-like space that are triggered as half of the visual field is temporarily lost. So again, there's a little science to that. C5 shapes, the most complex, occurred with a full 360-degree ellipsoidal enclosure. I have no idea if I pronounced
that
right.
Let me ask you this. Do they have a commonality in that did it change them afterwards? Because the Renner thing said it profoundly changed his outlook on life, emphasizing living on his own terms and valuing love and relationships over everything else.
The only thing that they said, that's a very good question. This story says that 70% of the participants in the study, and I guess they, in total, they went to 167 people, but 70% of them that had near-death experiences say that they had made major changes in their spiritual or religious beliefs, along with their diminished fear of death in the aftermath.
Yes.
But they also say the transformation often comes at a cost. Over 20% of participants say they faced relationship struggles or divorces after the experience. Many described enduring loneliness and isolation. But again, I mean, 70% said it kind of changed them for the better.
Yes.
One said that it was a double-edged sword, an event too profound to share for fear of being misunderstood. That's interesting, too.
Oh, like nobody will believe you?
Yeah, I don't know. There's
that's
a guy
that's
the story that I have is from the New York Post, and they quote a guy by the name of Dr. Jeffrey Long, who is a radiation oncologist in Kentucky, and he has founded something called the Near Death Experience Research Foundation, and they've looked at 5,000 cases, and he's found overwhelming evidence of life after death. He says, this is interesting too, get into some different numbers here, 45% of NDE survivors report out-of-body experiences, often describing themselves floating above their own bodies. I've heard that before.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes later confirmed by witnesses. However, he's still not sure how they happen. He says, I haven't found any scientific explanation for those experiences. And he says, I've read brain research and considered every possible explanation for NDEs. Well, the bottom line is none of them holds water. So they really don't know.
Right. Well, that's not a physical experience, I would say. I would say that's spiritual, and therefore you can't really study it with science.
I don't know that I'm really hankering for an NDE.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But I have heard people talk about them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contrast. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Going to see a band tonight at Chaffetz Arena, and this is they, Lord Huron. They're from Los Angeles. I've seen them at the Pageant a couple of times, and it always makes me a little nervous. You know, you see a club show, and then people go into a bigger venue, and I don't know how that's going to translate. But these guys have apparently really good visuals with the new record and with this tour, so I'm excited. You know, Sue, this is kind of, and Ethan's in here, we're going to talk a little baseball too. This is a weird year. I don't remember a year outside of perhaps when I was 13 years old that I saw less live music in one year.
Wow.
Because of being sick over the summer, yeah. And I just haven't been to shows. I went to Evolution Festival. I don't think I've been one time. No, I wasn't at the amphitheater this year at all,
wow.
Which is kind of weird. So it's going to be good just to get out and see live music. Now, we're going to have Tim Sommer on, and we're going to talk about a few things music-related here, and it didn't manifest because he had an emergency at home. But I did want to mention this. This will probably be over Ethan's head because you probably don't know this band. You know Bad Company? Do you know who Bad Company is?
I don't think so.
Paul Rodgers, one of the best rock voices ever. Well, I found this today when I was just—I always go—I use Tidal as my music service. I've talked about it before. It's T-I-D-A-L. And I've just loved it. It's also because I'm a little bit of a snob with the audio quality. It streams in high res, and I have some equipment that can, you know, play music in higher sampling rates, and it makes me feel important, which I'm
well,
not.
Yes.
But I always go on Friday to see the new releases and, you know, see what's out there. And I'm a huge and was a huge Bad Company fan from the 1970s. In fact, if you go from that period of 75 to 80 before I moved here, I mentioned the other day, I wasn't into the Stones in the 70s as much as I was in the 80s, but I was into Zeppelin. It was a band, UFO, from England. Petty was a big, you know, band for me, and Bad Company. I loved Bad Company.
That's funny.
So today, and I don't know how I missed this, they came out with this Hall of Fame induction 50th anniversary tribute to Bad Company, and I don't know that you're going to know all the voices on here, but it's pretty cool. Now I got to make sure I'm matching this up with the song titles because I can't even remember who does all these things. So hang on, because I'm gonna play you some samples here, and you'll see where I'm going with this. And I think that you'll know what the original songs were. So this is Ethan. You know Hardy, right?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, not
would
much.
Would you describe him as country or not?
I would.
Country pop, if you will.
Sure.
This is a killer version of Ready for Love, and I think he could flip this into a country single and a hit. To recognize it here in just a second, but this one really rocks on here. Again, it's called Can't Get Enough, a tribute to Bad Company. It just came out today. I mean, I'm telling you, if they don't release this one as a single, I think they're making a mistake, because I think that would chart on country radio and maybe even pop radio. So here is Feel Like Making Love with Slash playing guitar.
What?
And someone named Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. This one's a great version, too. It's one of my favorites from listening to it earlier today. Yeah, Slash is on here playing a little guitar.
Baby, when I think about you, I think about love.
Now, Bad Company also has a song called Bad Company. Some bands do that. And this is a guy, he's kind of an alt-country guy named Charlie Crockett, who I love. My favorites. You hear the twang in the guitar there?
Bad Company, till the day I die.
Well, I know this one.
Yeah. Oh, you do know this one? Yeah.
I know this one.
All right, so here's one for you. Do you know, Sue, I'll ask you this one too. Do you know Hailstorm?
No.
You don't know? Do you know Hailstorm?
Not by name, maybe by sound.
Okay, well, Lizzie Hale is super hot, and they rock, and they do Shooting Star.
One, two, three, four.
This is a real rocky version of this.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song.
That's pretty cool too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me do a thing it was, and from there it didn't take him.
Anyway, I was thrilled to come across that. And I'm not a big tribute album guy. You know, they do this a lot with artists, you know, covering songs. But I'm telling you, I started listening to this thing, and they are really, really cool versions of a band that probably does deserve a lot more attention, which is why they're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I'm excited about. All right, Brad Young's coming up in a couple of minutes, but Ethan, let's you and I kind of chew the fat on a couple of things sports related. First of all, Mizzou and Vandy, we talked about it with Frank in the last hour. I do like the fact that all the attention's going on Diego Pavia and the, you know, the Commodores, and they're doing College Game Day. I think we have a shot at a victory. I think, you know, getting that road victory off of Bo Beulah's neck last week was helpful. But look, this is going to be a tough game. All these SEC are tough.
You look at the spread is 2.5 in favor of Vanderbilt, and they are, you know, isn't the traditional thing that they get 3 points to the home team? So basically they view this as an even
pick 'em for the most
part. Yeah, it's basically a pick 'em. I mean, there's a lot of parts of Mizzou's game that have looked good this year, in large part. Ahmad Hardy, we know about the running game they have. There's been times when Bo Prabula's looked really good. There's also some things that Bo Prabula is just going to have to get better when it comes to. He has to be able to throw accurately downfield. But simultaneously, they have to give the ball off to Ahmad Hardy more. He has not gotten enough touches the last couple of games. Vanderbilt has a good defense, but I think they... Something you said earlier to Frank Cusumano is a really good point. This could come down more to, despite all of that, this could come down to what you do against Diego Pavia, the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Because in fairness to Ahmad Hardy and Drink and the play calling, I mean, look, Auburn has a great defense, and they've stopped him. And, you know, I don't really know what happened 2 weeks ago. Like, I still am a little confused by some of the play calling in the Alabama game, but what do I know? But this should be a good game tomorrow. We'll see what happens. I do agree with Frank that if you lose this game, you're likely not going to the CFP.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily,
it would hurt your chances.
But,
it would definitely hurt your chances. The toughest one the rest of the way, you know, is either going to be this or it's going to be Texas A&M at home in early November. They're the number three team in the country, but they have a big one tomorrow as well. They go on the road to face LSU, and I think I saw Brian Kelly's like
there's
lost
gonna be some
one
upsets.
Game lost
yeah.
one game at home at night at LSU. So I know that they lost a rough one last week against Ole Miss, but All kinds of chaos could happen.
You know,
still.
And I think I admitted this during the roundtable that I probably won't even be happy tomorrow just because I'll be pissed off if they do win that they lost to Alabama, because then I'll say they should be 7-0. You know what I mean?
That, you know,
I'm never satisfied, Ethan. That's what I'm saying.
I'm definitely hearing that, but I think that you would be okay with the playoff appearance.
Yeah,
I think you would be satisfied with that.
Yes, I would. All right, we have Brad Young coming up. Lord Huron. Chaffetz tonight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW. Birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So when I thought that Tim was coming on, we were going to talk about this too, because in association with the Springsteen movie Deliver Me From Nowhere, there is something called the Nebraska 82 Electrified Expanded Edition. And this is one of my favorite songs, Atlantic City from Nebraska. And basically, the new release is a bunch of different demos of a lot of songs. And Tim had to cancel, unfortunately, at the last minute. But we have Brad Young here to talk about all kinds of stuff that are in the news here, and we'll have audio cut of the day as well. Brad, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing great, sir. Thank you.
We're going to have to talk a little Mizzou Vanderbilt at the end of this segment, I think. We'll save it the end. I am super excited, and I'll share my thoughts here in just a couple of minutes. But let's talk about a few things, and in some of these things I talked about a couple hours ago on the roundtable, and I had Catherine Hanaway, the Attorney General of Missouri, on the show yesterday. She showed up as a surprise visitor to our big birthday party celebration. Brad, at first when I saw her, I thought I was being indicted. I mean, it was a big day with NBA players. We didn't think she was coming, so I was a little worried about, you know, getting arrested, but it didn't happen. But we talked about Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, who this thing could turn into a movie, couldn't it?
Oh, easily. No, if this were a movie, no one would believe it.
Right. It's crazy. So he is in custody right now, right?
Yes, he is in the Graybar Motel. he was previously confined to house arrest wearing the ubiquitous ankle monitors, but because he had burner phones, he was instructed not to call the employees that he had been harassing and intimidating, which is literally part of the federal charges, witness tampering. So he was told house arrest, but you can't use the phone. So he bought burner phones, and he was using burner phones. And when the judge heard that, he said, okay, discussion's over. You're going to jail because we know you're not going to have access to a burner phone in prison. Go straight there. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That is amazing. So then what is his status as the sheriff right now? I mean, from his jail cell, can he still run the sheriff's office?
As crazy as it sounds, he is still the sheriff of the city of St. Louis. And because there's been multiple attempts by the attorney general's office to have him removed from office until his trial, which is set for November 18. The judge has consistently refused to remove him from office. So he is the sheriff, even though he's in prison. And at this point, I don't see that he's going to be removed from office until he goes to trial on what's called the quo warranto action on November 18.
So, and that's what Catherine's involved with, right?
That's correct. That's being pushed by her. It was previously done by Andrew Bailey, now Catherine Hanaway. But the interesting thing is, you know, we all know the city is all screwed up, right? Everybody knows that. But the laws in Missouri are equally screwed up when it comes to this. Because here, let me briefly lay this out for you as far as what happens when there is a vacancy in the sheriff's office, because I think it's a question of when, not if. But when there's a vacancy, how do we fill it? Well, under the general vacancy, how do we fill general vacancies? It states under the Missouri law that it's to be filled by the county commission. Well, St. Louis City is not in a county.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you do that, right? And so the next step you would go to is there's another general vacancy statute that says if there's a vacancy from any elected office, the governor gets to fill it unless it's a sheriff. Okay, so it specifically states under Missouri law that the governor cannot appoint to fill a vacancy in the sheriff's department because it's listed in the statute. So how do we reconcile this? Well, I think that at the end of the day, if there was a spitting contest between the governor, the mayor, I said spitting,
yes,
the
yes,
mayor,
yes.
The governor and the board of aldermen, There are provisions within the Missouri Constitution that says Missouri is to be treated like a county. So even though there's no technical commission in the city of St. Louis, the Board of Aldermen is the closest thing we have to a county commission. And if this were to go to court, I think the Board of Aldermen would be the entity empowered to appoint a replacement.
Is it possible that one of the lessons of all this is that we don't need a sheriff's office in St. Louis? Now, they are responsible for very particular things. They're not out there arresting people or dealing with the homeless. No. They're transporting people. You know, inmates, right? That's one of the main responsibilities. I mean, couldn't you have
that one and serving? I'm sorry. It's also they do serving warrants, serving service of process for lawsuits. They do service of process type activities. And up until Sheriff Montgomery, they were charged with transporting prisoners from the jail to the hospital. Montgomery came in and said, no, I'm not doing that. It's not in my to-do list. And by the way, I need a bigger budget to do less work. So, but it is now the Board of Aldermen they have amended the statute in the city, the ordinance that specifies that's the job duties of the sheriff. He's fighting it, of course, in court. But yeah, that's about what they do.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what happened with the indictments yesterday with the NBA. I mean, you're taking NBA coaches down. Some of the stuff, I mean, there's two parts of this. One is the prop bets and stuff like that. And look, there's videos out there, and I don't know if this is just coincidental or not. I don't want to be naive. But you look at, Terry Rozier in particular, matching up with some clips. It totally looks like he's tanking, right, in some of these things. Yep. Then you have the poker aspect. And that's fascinating in and of itself because of the technology. I used to play a lot of Hold'em, Brad, back about 15, 20 years ago. I wish I had those cool contact lenses and X-ray machines below the table. I mean, talk about a movie. I think even Clooney said something about this today. It's like, we got to up our game because they're doing another Ocean's movie. The thing at the Louvre and this, you combine those two things, good Lord, you got a whole new movie.
Yeah, and I don't know if you ever watched the show Poker Face. It's on Peacock streaming.
Of course.
This is directly right out of Poker Face, okay? This is amazing. But yeah, there's two different types of fraud that's going on here. One is what you call the prop bets, proposition bets. And just so if folks don't know, that means not betting on who wins the game, but you're betting basically an over and under on how a particular player performs,
right,
points-wise, assists, free throw shots, whatever. So they were betting on that, but then they were Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones. They were what's called the face cards or the fish in order to draw
big players, whales,
into these poker games. And then they had like X-ray equipment in the tables. They had the shuffler, the card shuffler modified so they could shuffle and make sure that the cards they wanted were placed in specific situations. And then they were working with the mob, the mafia, as the enforcers to make sure the bets were paid off. This is Goodfellas too.
Come on, Scorsese's still alive. He's got to do something here, because I still am waiting for more of the crazy details, because I think as we dig even deeper into this, it's going to get fascinating. I also think, by the way, this is not the last of it, because I do think, I don't know about your thoughts. You know, Jontay Porter, of course, used to play for Mizzou. He gets taken down in some of this banned for life. I just wonder, you know, he pleads guilty. You just kind of wonder who's flipping in these cases. I think there is a fair amount of flipping going on, right?
Yeah, and as soon as one person flips and starts ratting out the other ones, you know, the dominoes fall very, very quickly once that happens. And I did a little bit of research on this, Mark. I looked up how much time they could serve in prison. Rozier and Damon Jones, they could serve up to 20 years for each count of wire fraud. The conspiracy to launder money also carries up to 20 years. Operating illegal gambling businesses, that's for the poker stuff, that's up to 5 years for each count. For each time they did it, that'd be an extra 5 years. And for what's called the Hobbs Act, which is the extortion conspiracy that involves traveling over state lines, that's over 20 years for each count. So if these guys are found guilty or plead guilty, they're going to be in jail probably for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. And, you know, we all kind of look, I'm a fan of wagering, and I'm looking forward to being legally allowed to do it here in Missouri, because it's different than the fantasy wagering. And I talk about Underdog all the time. That's different than, you know, regular sports wagering. But it's still fun, and you can still, you know, pick higher or lower on some things related to that. But you'd have to think, and, you know, Brad, this is where I think it's going to trickle down to the college level. It's hard for me to believe that if NBA players making, you know, tens of millions of dollars were manipulated and drawn in to some of the pressure from the mob, that these college kids aren't having the same challenges or they're doing the same stuff.
Yeah. Listen, we have, and I want to really kind of circle back to what you said a moment ago when you said that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. And the reason being is just late last night, I saw some of the excerpts, not the actual charging documents, but excerpts from the charging documents. And Mark, just like we've seen right here in St. Louis, in fact, like we've seen with many members of the Reardon Roundtable who have been indicted over the years.
Yes.
Okay. The feds have, they've got so much information, so much evidence. And once this all comes out and the charging documents are publicly released, we're going to be shocked at the actual, number one, the level of gambling that was going on. And number two, the stupidity of those who were doing the gambling, because they've got text messages, they've got recordings, they've got video. I mean, they've got this all nailed down.
You have some idiots out there, like Stephen A. Smith says things that make sense sometimes, but there are people out there on some of these NBA panels saying, you know what, it's just Trump going after, you know, the NBA because they're woke on some of these things. I mean, they bring the goods, and they unveiled a lot of the goods yesterday at that news conference.
Yeah, and plus, I think this the investigation on this started pre-Trump, so I don't see
Absolutely.
How you can lay this.
No, of course
you can't lay this at the feet of Trump. This has been an ongoing investigation, and when you look at the sheer volume of the evidence, it's truly overwhelming.
All right, 97.1 FM Talk, legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Young & Kaiser with us. Let's talk about the Supreme Court case that they're going to take up relating to smoking weed and legally owning guns. This will be interesting to see if Brad Young and Mark Reardon match up on their opinions of this, because I have very strong opinions of this, but why don't you explain this case?
Well, the case essentially falls down like this, that there's a federal statute. We all really started to hear about this federal statute when Hunter Biden was indicted, because up to then it was kind of obscure. but there's a federal law that prevents people who are both, number one, using illegal drugs at the time they apply for a gun purchase, or number two, being a habitual user around the time of the purchase of a firearm. And both of those are in the statute. So you've got several issues here. Number one, you've got an issue of what does it mean to be an illegal drug? Is that under state law or under federal law? Missouri and Illinois, marijuana is legal. Under federal law, it's not. So you've got an ambiguity there. Secondly, what does a habitual user mean? That is an enormous ambiguity. And under constitutional law, ambiguous laws cannot be enforced. Number three, you also have the question of a linkage. How can you link this? That's like saying bald guys can't drive Jaguars cars. Okay, why would you say that? There's no linkage between one and the other than bald guys, a lot of times are older and have the money to buy them. But other than that, there's no linkage. So I think that what the court's going to do here is this. They're going to send it back down to the lower courts to find additional evidence to demonstrate in this Hamani case. They're going to ask the lower courts to say, look, you've got to presume, or rather you have to present evidence to show that there's linkage between his use of marijuana and problems with him using a firearm before we're going to do anything with this statute. So at the end of the day, I don't see the court taking a position on it other than sending it back down to the lower courts.
I think it's a complete waste of time. And I'm not going to argue that people should be smoking weed and shooting up guns. But here's what I will tell you, that alcoholics are allowed to own guns. And you could pretty much stumble from a bar at closing time right into a gun shop and be, you know, strapped and ready to go afterwards. You can be drunk and operate a car and carrying a gun on your person as well. But, you know, if you smoke weed, you can't keep a gun at their house. That's ridiculous. And, you know, I am someone who has not had a drink since 1990, November 2nd, 1990. I do use cannabis. And I started doing that, you know, about 10 years ago again. And I'm not out there doing irresponsible things, but I hate the hypocrisy when it comes to alcohol, because I promise you, just ask cops. Ask cops what it's like to deal with someone who is an alcoholic, a drunk, beating the crap out of their wife, and someone who's smoking some weed. Now, you can go too far on the weed, too. I'm not arguing that, you know, this is good for everyone, but I'm a freedom guy and a libertarian on this particular issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I look at it, this isn't, I don't really even see it as that as an issue. What I see this as an issue being is that the federal government is a monolithic aircraft carrier that is powered by a trolling motor, and it just can't move and keep up. That's why you've got this discrepancy now between state laws and federal laws, but you can't change things in the federal government because it's too big, too large, too hard. And I do see the court emphasizing that you've got this discrepancy between state and federal law, but what are you going to do about it? So that's why I don't see them punishing the defendant here.
No, I get it.
I see them sending it back down, make some more findings, kick the can down the road, and then that way they don't have to actually deal with the substantive issues that you outlined.
Which is unfortunate, because those issues also relate to how dispensaries and people in the cannabis industry can use banks because of the federal laws. I mean, there have been stories of a lot of cash being stacked up, you know, at people in this industry because they can't, you know, use all the banks. So, that's something. Here's what's weird. Trump kind of wants to solve that. He really does. And I think there's a fair amount of Republicans that would like to solve that, too. But, you know, it's one of those tricky issues because it looks like you're supporting a bunch of dope heads, right?
Right. And that's not what it is. And really, I would be I've never used marijuana in my life, but I would be absolutely in favor of moving marijuana from a Schedule 3 drug to a Schedule 1 drug, if for no other reason that it would allow companies to study marijuana, to do research studies, to figure out, does this help with opioid addictions? Does this help with pain management better than opioids, which makes everybody literally crackheads? You could do that if you change the schedule status of marijuana.
Exactly.
But I'm not seeing any move to do that.
Yeah, I am not either. And I was expecting maybe there would be some. And if we get past this year and there's no action, you know it's not going to happen during the rest of the term. Brad, awesome to have you. All right, thoughts on Vanderbilt and Mizzou. Here's what I'll say. I said this earlier. I like the fact that all the focus is on Vandy and Diego Pavia. He's a great quarterback. I've watched him here the last couple of years. They're a good team. I watched their game last week. But I think we're a good team. And we didn't really play too well the last couple of weeks. If we could put a game together, we got a shot.
Yeah, and what I don't understand about Mizzou the last couple of weeks is that they really underutilized Ahmad Hardy, and I don't understand.
I I don't get it.
I don't understand why that is. But when you look at the stats, I mean, right now, Mizzou is ranked in the top 10 in both offense and defense. Diego Pavia is crazy good. He's a runner. He's a passer. But we've got a great defense. And I think Vanderbilt has a weakness against the run. And if we utilize Ahmad Hardy properly, I see we can overcome the Vegas line and actually beat him.
Yep, I hope so. But you know what's going to happen then? Because I don't know about you, but I'm the type, I can never accept even the good things. So let's say that we win yesterday. I'm going to be pissed because we didn't beat Alabama. We should be 7-0. That's how my brain works. I won't even be happy about it, but hopefully they'll get a victory. Brad, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
My pleasure, Mark.
Well, I'm on very limited time, so I think I'm going to use Lord Huron, this band that I'm seeing tonight at Chaffetz, as my audio cut of the day. But you know what, Sue? You know this because your husband's over at this event at Music for Pleasure, which is a really, really cool place in Webster Groves. And they have an event going on tonight and tomorrow to show off some of the audio equipment. And your husband, Michael, is involved in some of the brands. So this band, Lord Huron, won't go on until around 9 o'clock tonight. And I don't really care about the opener. So I think I might head down to Music for Pleasure and hang out and see some really cool equipment that I can't afford. It's really, I think they're focusing on, you know, analog.
It's a big analog. They have a cute promo going for AI, but it's analog.
Well, I've been over at that store a couple of times, and Dwayne invited me, one of the owners, so I think I'm going to do that before the concert. But have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
And Lord Huron will be our audio cut of the day. We'll talk Monday at 3 p.m.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.